Matthew 5, verses 11 and 12 read, "Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my," Jesus's, "account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Hello and welcome back to Think This Way. This is the podcast of Faith Bible Church here in Evansville, Indiana. As always, I am your host, Pastor Bryce. Today I have with me Dan Gielock. Dan, thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you. Hold it. I thought there were going to be donuts.
That's just how we lure you in, Dan. But once you're in, the doors close, you are trapped. So now you know. Well, I actually, having you, Dan, here is rather important. Part of that is because we're talking about evangelism this quarter. Of course, you're teaching an ACE class. I know it's a bit co-taught, although you're heading it up, that we have 9 a.m. on Sunday mornings in the auditorium. And so I had mentioned just last week, our very first podcast this quarter, a definition of evangelism, a very Bryce definition because it's very minimal. But you have shared with me and with that class on Sunday a what you call a description of evangelism that may be slightly more motivating for people.
Well, I'd like to share that again, if I may. And I have to apologize to John Piper, the emperor of hyphenations.
So do we have to pay him a copyright fee or something for this?
I think I should, really. Here it is. Evangelism is exciting, invigorating, adrenaline pumping, Satan defeating, God glorifying, Christ exalting, world changing, challenging, and exhilarating declaration and participation in the redemptive purposes of God. Those who participate in evangelism pray more, grow in their faith, demonstrate a reliance on the Holy Spirit, show love to their unsaved neighbors, friends, and families, and when God opens up hearts, experience a joy and delight that overflows in praise and worship to our gracious and loving Heavenly Father.
That's just a beautiful description. And I appreciate you sharing that too, because we are going to spend today and the next two episodes talking kind of negatively. I mean, we're starting with objections, reasons that we don't evangelize. But I do want to emphasize, well, after that, we'll turn to reasons we should evangelize and how we do it. I do want us to see evangelism as that description, actually, as something joyful, beautiful, good, because it is easy for us to just remember our fears in evangelism. Anything you view as scary, you just don't want to do it. So I appreciate that description. That being said, we are going to start in a negative way and hopefully address some objections to reasons that we don't view evangelism as a good, beautiful thing that get in the way. And today, I've titled this episode, Crossing the Pain Line. See how unmotivating that can feel. But it's worth talking about. And actually, I'm borrowing it from a book called Honest Evangelism. It's by an evangelist named Rico Tice. And I'm just going to give you a quote from pages 11 and 12 of that book to explain what this whole crossing the pain line means. Here it is. "So," he says, "if you're going to talk to people about Jesus, you are going to get hurt. It is going to sever some relationships. It is going to provoke people. Not every time, and depending on our circumstances, friendship groups, workplaces, and so on, our experiences will vary, but we will face rejection enough of the time to give us second thoughts. Because I don't know about you, but I don't particularly like getting hurt. We're wired to assume that if we're getting hit, something's gone wrong. And so whenever I tell someone the gospel message and get hit, metaphorically speaking, there's a temptation either to stop saying anything or to change what I'm saying. I know there's a pain line that needs to be crossed if I tell someone the gospel. But I want to stay the comfortable side of the pain line. Of course I do. I think," Rico Tice says, "that's the main reason why we don't do evangelism." End quote. I'm interested in your thoughts on that, Dan. So he's making the argument that he thinks the main reason we don't evangelize is we have tried it in the past and we get hit, and now we're afraid to cross a pain line. to risk relationships and just how uncomfortable it is when things get awkward or painful or people get upset. Do you think that is accurate? Are we held back from sharing the gospel mainly because we are afraid of crossing this pain line?
Well, I think that Tico is very realistic and, as the title implies, honest. 1 Corinthians 1 in verse 13 is very plain. Jews ask for signs and non-Jews look for wisdom, but preaching Christ is a stumbling block to the Jew, and to non-Jews it's foolishness. But to those who are called, it is Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. Mike Metzger, in his excellent work, Tell the Truth, would say that even motivated Christians will have misgivings as a witness, and the basis of that those apprehensions is fear. And I do think there are plenty of reasons that could be behind our fear. It could be that we're afraid of being rejected and considered stupid, a throwback, a prude, judgmental, a dreaded Christian nationalist, a simpleton equal to a flat earther, a right-wing nut job, a Bible-thumping fundamentalist, or some other pejorative. Not that I've given this any thought at all. It could be that we've had a bad experience sharing our faith in the past when someone has gotten extremely emotional and perhaps intimidating. It's possible that when we've shared the gospel in the past, false rumors about us have spread within our network, just as the verse you started off with implied. So I think that the illustration in Acts 4:13 could be very helpful here. Peter and John had been teaching, and the leaders threw them into jail. The next morning, they brought them out and questioned the men. Instead of being defensive, they proclaimed the gospel without any evidence of backing down. Acts 4:13, now as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. So, whatever their background, and even with the difference in personalities that we can get from the text concerning Peter and John, the thing that stood out was, instead of fear, they had bold confidence. What was the source, according to the observant leaders? They had been with Jesus. And that's the way out of fear and into bold confidence, spending time with Christ, focusing on him, his work, his promises, his truth.
That's beautifully said. And it actually makes me think of the end. I think it's that imprisonment when they finally release them, they beat them with rods publicly and let them go. And is that the one where it says, and they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer for the sake of the name? Is it that passage?
So instead of being in abject fear, these men were bold and went out and continued.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's such a beautiful picture of it. Well, to that end, that's where we want to aim at. All the hyphens you have shared, that is our goal, to move toward that Christ-exalting, joy-filled experience even of evangelism. Now, we're not there yet, but we're moving there. So I thought I'd ask just this kind of personal question, which is, Dan, for you, I know you are frequent in sharing your faith with others. Have you ever felt hesitant to share the gospel out of a fear of being rejected? And if you have, how have you fought against that temptation?
Well, as a younger believer, I hesitated more out of fear of reprisal or mocking. But today, being 68 years old and having walked with Christ now for over 50 years, something that motivates me to a greater level of holiness is that I don't want the gospel, our Lord, or our fellowship to be cast into a bad light because the unbelieving world, you know, questions my integrity. Peter writes in 1 Peter 3:13, who is there to harm you if you prove jealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed, and do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled, but instead sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. There it is, the holiness of life, the Christ as reigning in every part of my life, and then always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks, to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence, and we should keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which we are slandered, those who revile us and revile our good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. And that's a blessing. That's truly a blessing. As for fighting temptation, to be fearful for those who wrestle with fear, I would recommend the following. First, love God and be more thankful for Jesus saving you than you are fearful of people. I think of the example of the young man who is in love with his beloved, and he will tell everybody about the wonders of this woman that he is going to be marrying, and he doesn't care what anybody thinks. Second, I think we really can focus our love of our Heavenly Father and appreciation for the one who died to save us from our sin, and that will cause us to be growing in willing and cheerful obedience when he says, go, tell them what I've done. Third, I think if we understand the great need of the unsaved, I mean, if you and I look out of this window and we see someone that's playing in traffic and there's a large vehicle just coming down upon them, we're not going to hesitate, open the window or run outside and yell to the person and get them to safety. We're not going to be quiet. We're going to do it out of compulsion and out of compassion because of the great need. And I think if we have an understanding of the great need of the unsaved, that's going to help us overcome whatever fear we have. And then fourth, we need to believe that God visits his gospel, his good news, with power. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. Why, Bryce?
It's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, Jew and Greek.
Right. You know? So let's believe that.
And I think that confident approach to evangelism, I mean, Paul had requested boldness. I think that's supported not only by your hyphenated description, but even by the passage we started this podcast with, because Jesus, he's not just talking about evangelism, he's actually talking about when it goes badly, when you are reviled for his name. So that's what we're all afraid of happening. So he says, okay, let me talk about that. Here's how you should think about it. Hooray!
and he anticipates it.
Yes.
It's honest, like Rico Tice's honest evangelism, right? Yep. And we can take pleasure, joy, satisfaction, thankfulness in that. The words of the scripture, the words of our Savior, are proven true.
Yeah. And he points to as well that great reward,
Amen.
Which you don't get to see. When someone's angry at you because you shared the gospel and they think you're the dumbest Christian nationalist, whatever. And so when you're looking at their face, you just see an angry face, you know. And for some of us, that hurts. You don't want to see an angry face. But what you don't see is the larger smiling face behind you. It's God's face. God is looking at you smiling and has a reward. And that's what Jesus says. That's why you should be glad. Yes, that guy's angry or that girl's angry or not pleased or it's awkward. But there is a real reward that we are going to experience later.
Amen.
I do have another question for you then. So someone's listening to this. They want to get to that hyphenated description in their own mind and rejoice in the reward, even when people think they're weird for being Christian and sharing that. Let's say, though, with coworkers, family, friends, someone, they know the gospel, but it's just that first step sometimes that's the hardest one. Just, you're talking about the game, you're talking about whatever you always talk about, and you want to get into gospel conversation zone with this person, but you're scared. How would you encourage someone to take that first step across the pain line in sharing the gospel if they're afraid to do it?
Well, I really love the fact that you use the word conversation. And instead of fearing the E word, I think it'd be helpful to think of evangelism as a way to achieve great God-honoring conversations. Yeah. You know, to see that smile. Whether our natural inclination is introverted or extroverted, we are all called to be witnesses to Jesus. We have somebody in our fellowship who is very, very much an engineer, quiet, humble. And this brother goes down, talks to complete strangers on a regular basis, and shares the gospel. And, you know, these are people from all walks of life. But this man is quiet. He's an introvert. But praise God, you don't have to be a back-slapping salesperson to be able to be obedient. Whether our inclination is introvert or extrovert, if we understand the grace of God, if we have a dynamic relationship with Christ, if we know his love, his nature, his transforming power and forgiveness, how can we not tell others about God's goodness? So it's part of our life. Pray about it. Make certain we're listening to the other person and respecting them as an image bearer. Draw near to Christ as described previously in our discussion here as we humbly and lovingly share with them the gospel, not just our testimony, but the gospel. And I think if we take that approach, I think it'll be very helpful.
Well, I appreciate you helping us with this, Dan. And for those who are listening here, you know, maybe you're not yet at that hyphenated description place. Maybe you're at the definition place and you want to work toward that boldness and that zeal. Maybe you can think of coworkers right now. They know you pretty well. You've not taken that step across the pain line. So now it might be even more painful to bring up the subject. What are they going to think? Listen, whatever you have thought in the past about evangelism, may God help us all now to think this way.